This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
We've created prisons for ourselves that didn't need to exist. And we've made ourselves hostages. And then we're willing to do anything to keep ourselves in those prisons. Islam comes and just liberates. You just be on the right side of things. Allah doesn't want perfection. Allah just wants you to do the right thing.
This episode is a snippet from our deeper look of Surah Al-Muddathir, which was recorded a few weeks ago in Germany. However, we have a special announcement for those of you who are more artistically minded. Introducing Bayana's new contest, artwork inspired by the Quran. We want you to listen to this entire video, which is based on Ayah 38 of the Surah, and use it as inspiration to create a piece of artwork. This is open to all ages and backgrounds, and full details on how to enter will be below. We can't wait to see your work. All right, now back to the video.
Okay, so this is the heart of today's discussion, the two ayat that I want to discuss with you at some depth. Very beautiful ayah. This ayah is so scary and amazing at the same time. I met a grandma in Dallas one time. I was leaving the masjid and she needed some help and I helped her a little bit and then we just started talking and she said, "I'm a calligrapher, you know." She was from Iraq. I was like, "Really? You're a calligrapher? That's so cool. Can you do some calligraphy for me?" She goes, "Yeah." So then I met her son and I invited them over to the Bayana campus and I had her write this ayah on one of our pillars. She said, "What should I write?" I was like, "Just write, 'Kullu nafsin bima kasabat rahinah.' I want to walk in and just look at that. I just want to see that every day." Right? So, but this is it's a pretty, at face value, difficult ayah to understand. So I'm going to unpack it for you little by little. Let's first understand the hardest word in this ayah, which is rahina. That may be a new word for many of you, rahina. Rahina means, it comes from the word rahin, something that is stuck to something else. Al-mulazim, al-mutaqarib. Okay? It also means, another meaning of it is al-marhoon, meaning al-maqbood. Let me explain in simple English. If I borrowed your car, can I borrow your car? And you say, "Here, take the keys. But, give me your passport." Okay, so now I'll get my passport back when I return your car. Okay, you go and you rent a car. They're letting you use their car. But what do they want from you? They want your credit card. They want your some. They're holding some money back. They'll withdraw some money from your bank. They'll keep it. When you return the car to them, what are they going to do? Release those funds again, right? You go to the, if you ever checked into a hotel, I spend a lot of my life in hotels. Check into a hotel. "Oh, we're just charging you $300 for incidentals." Incidentals means if I just had to burn towels inside the hotel room, right? Or punch a TV or something. Then they can charge for that. We'll take it out of there, right? But they're not going to keep that money. Once I check out of the hotel and they make sure that there's no smoke, then they're going to, that's the money they're holding back, that's called rahina or marhun or rahan. That's the rahan. Okay? So that's this word. There's discussions that we don't have to really go into about why is there a ta marbuta on rahina. That just makes it something visual. Basically, it adds to its ismiyah's bottom line. Right? And what that means is it's like something physical you left with somebody. Right? "Here's my ring. And can I borrow this? Here's my ring. I'll borrow your horse. I'll give you my ring. When I give you back the horse, then you," because it's something tangible that's being held. Now that I've said that, I give you the example of money that's being held, a ring or whatever else. What's this ayah saying? "Kullu nafsin bima kasabat rahina." Every person, you and me, everybody, are being held as collateral in exchange for whatever we do. So that's why it's complicated to understand. Okay? So remember in the example, if I borrowed from you, you took my passport. In this example, you're the passport. You're the one being held. And once you give back, you will be released. So the thing that's being captivated or held captive is, or in this case, you could say held hostage, right? because somebody's holding my passport hostage. Somebody's holding the deposit money hostage, and they will release it when the demands are met. In this ayah, who's being held hostage? Every human being is being held hostage. We're already prisoners. Amazing ayah to mention, right after Allah mentioned free will. Allah said, whoever wants, they can step forward. Whoever wants, they can go back. By the way, every one of you is a captive. Held back. Hostage. Held back. Collateral. So how do you free yourself? Allah says, bima kasabat. Oh, bima kasabat, by the way, is muqaddam. So Allah didn't say, kullu nafsin rahinatun bima kasabat. No. Kullu nafsin bima kasabat rahinatun. Every person is being held hostage, being held as collateral, only to be exchanged with what payment? Whatever they earned. Whatever they earned in this life. Whatever deeds they did, and whatever they earned. This is pretty heavy. So now let's explain the concept of freedom in Islam. You have freedom of choice, but you don't have freedom of consequence. Let's write that out so you'll remember it. The last ayah was freedom of choice. This is not freedom of consequence. Everything I do in this life, everything I do is an attempt to free myself from the invisible prison I'm already in, the prison of consequences. So even though I pretend I'm free, I'm actually stuck to my deeds. I am chained to my deeds. And those deeds are being presented to Allah, who's holding every soul hostage. Either those payments that we make are negative payments, or they are positive payments. So a good deed is a negative payment, and a bad deed is a negative payment, a good deed is a positive payment. Every single one of us is actually already in prison. And the thing that is the only thing that will free us from this prison is what we do in this life. What we earn with Allah in this life. بِمَا كَسَبَتْ رَهِينَ. So in the previous ayah, I am entirely responsible for my choices. And in this ayah, I'm entirely responsible for whatever I earn in this life. I'm responsible. بِمَا كَسَبَتْ. If you understand this, what this means is, the starting point for us is that we're in trouble. The reality is not we're okay. The reality is we are in trouble. And the only way to get out of trouble is to pay your way out. And the only payment Allah will accept is what? The good you earn. Bima kasabat. This is exactly what Allah says when He says, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي. So the starting point for humanity, they are in loss. Human beings are in loss. Mahboos, kept in prison. Literally, you know, مُعَدٌّ مَحْبُوسَ عَلَيْكَ. They're being held back. Now, if that is the case, then a Muslim can see somebody else who thinks they're free. Who thinks they're free. And they're doing whatever they want. And they can see, oh my God, they are increasing the price for their release with every negative payment. You know, your account balance can go negative, right? When your account balance is negative 2,000 and you deposited $2,000, what does it become? Zero. You need to make a $1,000 payment to be released. But you're already at negative 2,000. And now you're at negative 4, negative 6, negative 8, and negative, negative, negative. Oh my God. Could it be that somebody, the payment to make to be released was very little? But the problem is, you went too far into the negative. You understand? So now you don't owe $10, you owe $10 million and $10. Right? But what does Allah do for people that are so deep in debt with Allah, and their collateral is huge, huge, huge? Allah says, just make tawbah, I'll wipe it all out. We'll just multiply it by zero. In fact, if it was $10 million in the negative, I'll turn it $10 million in the positive, if you just make tawbah. One thing, one tawbah. But sincerely turn back to Allah. You're free. Our turning to Allah is our freedom. And it's not just a freedom in Akhirah. It's ultimately a freedom in Akhirah. But I would argue this ayah is also an ayah about dunya. Every person is being held hostage by the things that they do. People are being held hostage by their alcohol. People are being held hostage by their sex addiction, by their pornography. People are being held hostage by their drugs. People are being held hostage by their wasting time, whatever their vice is, whatever their crimes are. They're held hostage by that. They're drowning themselves in it. And the only people that are actually living free from these addictions, from these vices, which we're told are you're free to surf the web. You're free to surf the web, right? You're free to go on social media. But if you put your phone away, if you've been watching social media a long time, a young person, 14, 15 year old, watching whatever they're watching, and you take their phone away, what happens to that teenager? They just got anxious, they have tantrums, they start having emotional breakdowns, all kinds of crazy stuff starts happening, you know? Why? Because they're actually a prisoner of that device. They're actually not free at all. They're not free. Just like, you know, our bodies are not free from food. So if you deprive us of food, we have to go run after it. Right? We have a we're imprisoned by the food. Now the world has created addictions and we're imprisoned. Human beings are imprisoned by these addictions. There are people that are imprisoned by the need to impress someone. They live in that prison. That's what they want to earn. And they're just buried under it. All their life, just want to impress someone. Other people are imprisoned by the need to be on top. Everybody needs to respect me. Their entire life, I just need to be respected. How do you need to be respected? Well, when people walk in, they better not look at me the wrong way. They better say salam to me first. They better do this. They better do this. Hey, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? You think that's respect? You can't talk to me like that. They're imprisoned by this need. They're not free. They're not free. Other people are imprisoned by paranoia. The brothers of Yusuf were imprisoned by the need to know that they are loved more, because they needed, love to them was a scorecard. Right? Dad loves Yusuf more. How do you know dad loves Yusuf more? You checked inside his heart? There's a meter? Like a health bar in Street Fighter? Right? How do you know he loves him more? Well, I don't know. And they got rid of him and he still loves him more. How do you know he loves him more? But I just need to know. I need to just do something about that. They're imprisoned by their need. Their psychological dependence on someone, their anger towards, some people are imprisoned by anger. Some people are imprisoned by regret. Kullu nafsin bima kasabat rahina. People are living in prisons. There's a prison coming in Akhirah. But man, human beings are so good at creating prisons for themselves in this life. We're so good at it. And this ayah is saying, you were not put in that prison. You know, it's your own prison. And the only one to free you from that is who? You, by what you can do. So you can actually do things to take you further in prison, or you can earn your way out of prison. You know, if you just think about life, freedom, in that sense, why do people get so disturbed when they see a woman in hijab? They say, you're free. Why aren't you free? You're oppressed. Right? They're so upset. I happen to have conversations with women that don't, non-Muslim women, that don't cover, they work in the corporate environment. I say, tell me about, you know, your workplace. What's the hardest part? They say, getting ready for work. Several women told me, getting ready for work is the hardest part. I was like, why? Why is that so hard? Just brushing your teeth, that difficult? No, I have to do so much makeup. You have to dress a certain way. I was like, what does it mean, dress a certain way? She goes, you know. It's like, I don't know. What do you mean? She goes, look, if you don't look a certain way, you're not going to get ahead. So I was like, let me ask you something. We're not talking about Islam. Let me ask you something. Do you feel imprisoned by this entire set of expectations? She goes, yeah, guys are so free. They can just dress however they want and they can just go and be fine. And we can't just do that. Wow. And you're telling women that don't have to do that, that they're imprisoned. But you're imprisoned. And you're dying in those prisons, right? كُلُّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ رَهِينَ. Why? And what our generation, Muslim, forget about non-Muslims. I'm not here to make you feel good about talking bad about non-Muslims. I want you to feel bad about you. Like, man, we create these stupid standards. And then we're going to die if those standards are not met. What should a wedding look like? Now we created the standard. The standard was revealed from Instagram. And now if you don't get that kind of wedding, this is the worst day of my life. Why? Why? We've created prisons for ourselves that didn't need to exist. And we've made ourselves hostages. And then we're willing to do anything to keep ourselves in those prisons. Islam comes and just liberates. The only one you have to be enslaved to is Allah. And yes, you are being held hostage for your bad deeds, and you can do good deeds to free yourself. Just become people. Your entire purpose in life is, am I doing the right thing? Your purpose is no longer, am I doing the popular thing? Am I doing the fashionable thing? Am I doing the most money-making thing? Am I doing the competitive thing? Those questions start disappearing. The only main question left is, am I doing the right thing? That's it. Am I earning the right thing? That's all. That's all. Man, what a worldview. And that's freedom. I'm free to do the right thing while everybody else is in prison. They don't get to impose on me. You know, even the girls we were talking about the other day that, you know, some young lady asked about influencers who take off their hijab and then they, you know, all of that. Are they not imprisoned by the eyes and the opinions of others and dictated by that to take this decision? The only prison, the only surrender we should accept is the surrender to Allah. And I tell you, the Quran's philosophy is amazing. We call ourselves slaves of Allah, right? We call ourselves slaves of Allah. And Quran is describing, you're going to be a slave no matter what, but you decide what you want to be a slave to. You will be a slave to fashion, slave to money, slave to people, slave to culture, slave to standards, slave to whatever, slave to popularity, slave to your ego, or slave to Allah. If you don't choose Allah, there'll be something else you'll be a slave to. But if you choose Allah, you'll be free from all the other slaveries. That's freedom. It'll free you from all of them. That's truly called breaking chains. And Allah says, but the reality is every human being, even when it comes to Allah, now there's only one thing. We're all tied up. We're not actually free. Every deed we're doing is either breaking. Imagine there's thousands of chains on me. Every good deed that I'm doing is breaking one of those chains, or every bad deed that I'm doing is adding one of those chains. And I don't even see those chains. And then judgment day comes and all those chains appear. That's kullu nafsin bima kasabat rahina. It's only because of what they are earning, what they're doing, they are being held hostage. SubhanAllah. This is an amazing, amazing reality check. It's an incredible reality check. And it's Allah's way of telling you and me, nobody put us in a prison. We did. We did. And there's no, oh, it's impossible. I've made too many mistakes. I'm too far. I'm way down there in the prison hole. There's no way I can climb my way out. No, you could do it. Easy. Illa ashab al-yameen, except the people on the right. Allah said ashab al-yameen. You know, this is a description of people on Judgment Day. There's going to be people on the left, and there's going to be people on the right. And there's people that are going to get their book in their right hand, so they're called the people of the right. And people will get the book on their left hand. There's the people that have a curse, basically. Ashab al-mash'ama, shu'um, bad omen, curse. There are also ashab al-shimal, but the people of the right are ashab al-yameen, ashab al-maymana, ma ashab al-maymana. وَأَصْحَابُ الْمَشْأَمَةِ مَا أَصْحَابُ الْمَشْأَمَةِ. But yameen means something else also. Yameen in Arabic used to mean oath. Right? So when you take a yameen, you're taking an oath. These are people who lived up to the oath they made to Allah. These are the people of the yameen. They had made a commitment to Allah. Even before they came on the earth, they had already made a commitment to Allah. And they lived up to that commitment in their fitrah. These are the people of yameen. Yameen also means to do the honorable thing. because the yameen, the right hand, represents good deeds. It represents fulfilling your agreements. The right hand is what you use to shake hands, to make agreements, to be reliable. You shook hands on it, means that you're now liable for it. You're good for it. You take testimony with your right hand, don't you, in courts around the world, in cultures old and new. You make promises. You put your hand on your chest and you make pledges, right? The right hand is the symbol of culture, of honor, of good, of integrity. These are people of integrity. They are people that do things the right way. When you do things the wrong way, you're using your left hand. When you do things the right way, you're using the right hand. Illa ashab al-yameen, the only people that are not being held hostage are the people of the right hand. This leads us to the biggest confusion that somebody might have. I'll pretend to be you and I'll ask the question.
Murtad, I have a question. I thought we're only going to go to Jannah from the mercy of Allah. But now, the only way to get free is by our deeds. So which is it? Our deeds or Allah's mercy?
Thank you, audience, for that question. Now let me attempt to answer that for you. Because there is actually sahih narrations about the only way we're ever going to enter Jannah is how? Mercy of Allah. Our deeds are not enough. And now Allah is saying, you're not going to be released except by what? What you earned. So there looks like there's a contradiction between, oh, we're only going to Jannah by the rahmah of Allah and our deeds. Let's put that all in perspective. My deeds will never be good enough. Never. Maybe, because Jannah is really expensive. Right? Look, there are places in the world that are very beautiful. Right? In Europe, places like Switzerland are very beautiful. There are parts of France that are very beautiful. I'm sure there are parts in Germany that are very beautiful, right? I'm sure. I mean, I haven't seen them yet, but I'm sure. I've been to Berlin. What do you want me to do? Okay. So there are places in, you know, in the United States that are very beautiful. Colorado is very beautiful. California is very beautiful. There are expensive cities in the world. Whenever there's a beautiful place, isn't it expensive? I mean, to get a piece of expensive real estate takes a lot more work, right? We're talking about Jannah. And just the size of Jannah is the size of the skies and the earth. It's a little more expensive than this earth, a little bit. And of course, if you want to pay for it, if you want to earn it, then you got to work for it. But no matter how much work I do in this world, I can't even afford an apartment in New York City. Like, that's going to be hard. And we're talking about this limited life and some work, and now we're ready to afford mansions, not one, multiple mansions, where? In Jannah. Like, I mean, let's just logically thinking, nothing we do would be enough to pay for what we're getting. Nothing. And also, those are eternal. They're eternal. So our good deeds, if we did good deeds for 80 years, right? Then it's not like we get 80 years rent-free in Jannah. And then the payments begin. No, it's permanent. So limited effort, permanent reward. That's clearly not, we didn't pay for it. We can't pay for it. There's no way to pay for it, right? So what is this? Two extremes. One, we go to Jannah because of our deeds. Two, we go to Jannah because of Allah's mercy. Both of those are extremes and both of those are wrong. I showed you one of them is wrong. Our deeds will get us to Jannah because it doesn't make any sense. We're not getting to the ayah yet. We'll get to the ayah in a second. What's the other extreme? We're only going to make it to Jannah from Allah's mercy. If you say that, then what happens to the importance of your deeds? They're no longer important. Allah is merciful, man. You say, bro, don't drink that. Yeah, but Allah is merciful. It's not like we're going to go to Jannah because of our deeds. Haven't you read the hadith? Our deeds aren't enough. Just ask Allah for mercy, He'll give mercy. Allah is Ar-Rahman, why you gotta be cheap? Allah is much more generous than you. You know? Isn't that an extreme that exists? I'm sure you have some dumb cousin or friend who said something like that. Right? Because that exists in the millions of people. Right? But what is the right understanding of all of this? It's very straightforward. By the way, whenever an explanation is complicated, it's probably not correct. right? Because the deen is, by design, what is the deen? It's a deen of fitrah. It just appeals to your intellect, it appeals to your nature, and it doesn't compromise the meaning of what Allah says. It has to just be straightforward. So what's a straightforward way of looking at this? Allah has combined two things in this surah. Allah's guidance, you saw before, and our will. You remember that? Then Allah said, for example, يُضِلُّ كَذَلِكَ يُضِلُّ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Then Allah said, لِمَنْ شَاءَ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ يَتَقَدَّمْ أَوْ يَتَأَخَّرْ. Didn't he mentioned himself and us. That's come up a couple of times. So there seems to be a two-part situation here. Allah will take my pathetic, badly done, 25% khushu' salah, right, that I did, and he's going to take it, and that's not even worth, like, you know, an apartment in Stuttgart. And he's going to take that, but I did something, and it was sincere. It wasn't great, but it was something. And Allah will take that, and he will multiply it, and multiply it, and multiply it, and multiply it, and turn it worth mansions in Jannah, and I'll look at that and say, Ya Allah, that was a pretty bad Maghrib. But Allah says, yeah, but I'm Ar-Rahman. You're not going to Jannah because of your deed. You're going to Jannah because I'm multiplying your deed. You understand? Now, that means something has to be there to multiply to begin with. Right? Allah is magnifying the reward. يُعْظِمْ لَهُ أَجْرًا. He will magnify the reward. Fine. But there's something that needs to be there to magnify. If you come before Allah with zero, then I think you're pretty good at math. You're German raised. There's nothing to multiply that to. There's nothing to increase that by. Allah is saying, Allah didn't say, give me perfection. Allah said, step forward. لِمَنْ شَاءَ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ يَتَقَدَّمْ. Take a step forward. Did Allah say, make 1,000 steps before you qualify? Did Allah put minimum, reach this minimum before you're acceptable? If somebody took one step towards Allah and died, one step, they didn't even learn to pray yet. They were about to make wudu, their hand didn't even reach the water, and they died. And they haven't even prayed once in their life. Not once. The fact that their hand was moving forward, Allah will take that hand moving forward and multiply it and multiply it and multiply it, and that will become eternal reward in Jannah. Isn't it? Isn't it true that nobody will enter Jannah without Allah's rahmah? But that will never negate the value of our deeds and our intentions and our actions. That's why everyone is being held hostage. Except the people that bring Allah good deeds that are in the right side. Ashab al-Yameen. You just be on the right side of things. Allah doesn't want perfection. Allah just wants you to do the right thing. That's it. Try. Don't give Allah excuses. Don't give Allah excuses. Don't lie to yourself and don't lie to Allah. Come before Allah with humility. And we'll make mistakes, we'll make tawbah. It's so amazing. Allah didn't say, you better keep moving forward and never step back. Sometimes we'll fail. Sometimes we'll step back. Sometimes we'll make mistakes. And Allah in His book says, okay, yeah, you made a mistake. Let's help you with that. Make tawbah. And fix it. إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ. I'll replace your bad deeds with good ones. He even took the, if you're headed in the right direction and you slip along the way, Allah will take your tawbah and make that even instead of that being a disadvantage, Allah will make that an advantage. Allah will do that. Isn't that rahmah from Allah? He doesn't need to do any of that. If heaven was transactional, then none of this multiplication would be happening. I've had fun conversations with Christian pastors who come and tell me, our God is a God of love. You go to heaven because of your deeds, and we go to heaven because of God's love. No, God loves our deeds. No matter how bad, how low quality they are. And then God rewards them. He multiplies them. He beautifies them. He magnifies them. And when they say that, our God is a God of love, I was like, yeah, but God is so much more and you reduced Him to just love. It's unfair. God's also fair. God's also just. God's also wise. God's also a guide. God's also watchful. God's also vengeful. God's also angry sometimes at some people. God has expectations. When you say God's just love, none of your relationships work like that. Why do you make that unfair with God? He's just love. You know? لِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. One of them is Al-Wadud. So when you say, I'm going to reduce Allah to one of His names and all the other ones I'll done with. It sounds cute when you first hear it. When you think about it from a Quran's perspective, and you say, hey, why? What about all the other ways that you should be thinking about God? Right? Then what happens? كُلُّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ رَهِينَ. Every one of us isn't actually free. Just keep that image in your mind. We have invisible strings tied to us that are dragging us towards hell, and our good deeds are breaking each one of those strings. Or that's what they're doing. إِلَّا أَصْحَابَ الْيَمِينَ. So inshallah, that's all I wanted to share with you today up until ayah number 39, because tomorrow we're going to see a really interesting dialogue between the people of Jannah and the people of Jahannam. They made it to Jannah, now they're asking the people of Jahannam a question. So I'll end here inshallah. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Hakim wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum bil ayati.
I hope you guys enjoyed that video clip. My team and I have been working tirelessly to try to create as many resources for Muslims to give them first steps in understanding the Quran all the way to the point where they can have a deep, profound understanding of the Quran. We are students of the Quran ourselves, and we want you to be students of the Quran alongside us. Join us for this journey on bayinatv.com, where thousands of hours of work have already been put in. And don't be intimidated. It's step by step by step, so you can make learning the Quran a part of your lifestyle. There's lots of stuff available on YouTube, but it's all over the place. If you want an organized approach to studying the Quran beginning to end for yourself, your kids, your family, and even among peers, that would be the way to go. Sign up for bayinatv.com.